his wine, red and dark as blood, then put the tulip-shaped glass down on the tablecloth and brushed at his mustache.
"Why, I came here to see you, Kate. I grew lonely for you. I miss the little games we used to play."
"And you just happened to meet my sister."
"A charming coincidence," he lied. "She's worked very hard to break her addiction, but I'm afraid that it would be ridiculously easy to turn her onto narcotics once again."
"I'll kill you," he laughed.
"Catherine, it is so much easier to make love instead of war."
She glared at him. Turning serious, Gaetano hunched across the table toward her.
"You have control of Astro. You thought that if you could get your sister here with you, you would be free of me."
He waved an extended index finger back and forth in front of her eyes.
"Not so. You will never be rid of me. Not until I decide that I want to be rid of you. Do you understand?"
Kate said nothing.
"Do you realize how easy it would be to get your sister stoned to the point where she would think it fun to come into bed with us?"
Kate could feel her teeth clenching so hard she feared they would shatter.
"Don't be angry, dear one. You have your new position as head of Astro. You can have your sister, too. All I want is for you to follow my orders, in your office and in your bedroom."
"You leave Kim alone?"
"Of course. What would I want from her if you are obedient?"
Kate lowered her eyes.
"The Russian thinks you still are working for him," Gaetano said, switching to business. "That is good. Let him continue to believe so. As long as you do what I tell you to."
Looking up, Kate saw that Kimberly was threading her way through the other tables toward them. "She looks okay," Kate told herself. "God, she actually looks happy."
"All right,"
she whispered urgently to Gaetano. "I'll follow orders like a good little slave. Just keep away from my sister."
"Of course," Gaetano assured her.
Kate did not feel assured. For days, Nobuhiko Yamagata pondered the meaning of Jane Scanwell's surprising statements at their luncheon together. Organized crime fastening its tentacles to the global conversion program? Murdering a friend of hers, whom she had asked to investigate the situation for her? Unsettling thoughts. The GEC's mad scramble to avert the greenhouse cliff was an awesome undertaking in itself. To have it undermined by the International Crime Syndicate, if such a thing actually existed, was more than dangerous. It could be fatal for half the human race. Nobo decided that he needed more information. He explained the problem to his chief of security, a tiny, bandy-legged, pot-bellied man whose little remaining hair was as gray as a rainy day. The man had been Nobo's own bodyguard when he was a lad, personally selected by his father. He was a master of the martial arts, potbelly and all. More importantly now, he was a brilliant organizer and administrator. The security chief listened to his master's apprehensions, then proceeded to arrange a meeting between Nobo and the head of one of the great Yakuza families. At first, Nobo thought it unseemly to sit in the same room with a crime lord, but the security chief explained that the Yakuza had their own sense of honor, and the headman would try his best to be cooperative as long as he did not feel he was risking his own interests.
"He is well known to the police," the security chief told Nobo, "and has assisted them on investigations of certain violent crimes. In his own world, he is a man of high rank and honor. It is no shame upon you or this house to meet with him."
Still, Nobuhiko hesitated, until the security chief added,
"He was a good friend to your father."
So the meeting was arranged at the family home above Kyoto. Both men wore Western business suits, Nobo's charcoal gray, the Yakuza lord's an off-white raw silk. His name was Toshiro Kakuta. Small but very solidly built, head as bald and blunt as a bullet, eyes unreadable but alert. The older man bowed to Nobuhiko somewhat stiffly. Nobo wondered if the stiffness was from age or the fact that this man did not often bow to others. Returning the bow, Nobo gestured to the low lacquered table already set with a tea service. No third person would enter this room until their talk was finished. Kakuta slowly, almost painfully, sank to his knees, and then sat cross-legged. Arthritis, Nobo decided. They sipped tea and spoke pleasantly for quite some time about the lovely view of the forest through the room's big picture window. That led to a discussion of the weather, and then how warm the season had been, and finally to the matter of the greenhouse and the GEC's global effort.
I have been told, Nobo said, glad to be on the subject at last, that in other parts of the world, organized crime syndicates are stealing money and resources from this vital program.
Kakuta bowed his head ever so slightly.
I have been informed of the same. A terrible thing to do.
I have not heard of any such interference with this necessary work in Japan. Lifting his chin again, he said,
No. We recognize how crucial this work is. There is nothing to be gained by robbing one's own nest.
I am pleased to hear you say it, Nobo said, wondering how much of the man's words were true.
If I may explain.
Please do.
In any large organization, it is not always possible to completely control the actions of every individual member. There may well be the misguided soul here and there who makes some profit from your great work. I deal harshly with such foolishness when I learn of it, but I am not omniscient.
It was Nobo's turn to bow his head slightly.
I understand.
I am grateful that you have the same wisdom as your father.
A heartbeat's pause, then Kakuta added, and at a much younger age. Nobo kept himself from reacting to that.
Can you tell me, he asked, is there truly an international crime cartel, a syndicate of global proportions?
Kakuta remained silent for so long that Nobo began to think he would not answer. Finally, the older man said,
That is a difficult question. There have been loose alliances from one region of the earth to another from time to time. Some of our own groups here in Japan have formed links with families in the United States, for example.
But no actual organization on a permanent basis?
Not yet.
Despite himself, Nobo felt his brows rise.
Not yet.
Within the past year, there has been great pressure brought to bear to form such a continuing global organization, with permanent hierarchy and structure.
Where does this pressure come from?
Kakuta swung his head a few centimeters from one side to the other.
That is a question that I cannot answer.
You mean you will not answer?
Kakuta said nothing.
Can you tell me this much at least? Nobo asked. Does this pressure involve the Mafia?
The Mafia is already an international organization. It includes most of Europe and all of North America.
So I have been told.
But they do not operate in Japan, and as long as I am alive, they will not.
I see. I understand, and I am indebted to you for sharing your wisdom with me.
It is a pleasure. May you have 10,000 years of happiness.
And you the same.
Kakuta burst into a full-bellied laugh, startling Nobuhiko.
10,000 years for me? Oh no, not in my business.
He rocked back and forth with laughter and slapped his thighs. Nobo smiled back at him and thought,
I will send President Scanwell a team to guard her, without her knowing it. She may have a GEC security team, but they might easily be infiltrated. The best security is the least visible.
Augustus Greenwell tramped through the sodden woods, grateful that his barber coat was truly waterproof. It had rained again last night. It had rained every night for the past 6, cold, driving, acid rain that was killing the woods and poisoning his lake. He had complained to the environmental protection agencies, state and federal, to the idiots in the weather service who kept nattering about unseasonable cyclonic disturbances, to both his senators and even to the president's science advisor. Still it rained, even on the weekends when he wanted to go hunting in his own private woods. Slogging through the muddy underbrush,
heavy laser rifle on his shoulder, he admitted to himself that the rumors about the damnable greenhouse